All right. Hello and welcome back to another episode here of a long extended podcast on the Acast feed for COTR. I am Eric, aka Shellen, as always on these episodes. And on this this week, I have got a interview with AloneWolf87. Walter, how are you doing here tonight, Walter?
Hi, Eric. Very good. Thank you. Thank you for having me on this podcast.
Yeah, thank you for making some time to join us. I know that it is a bit of a late night in your neck of the world. Where are you talking to me from here today?
Yeah, I'm talking to you from Italy.
Yeah, so
it's kind of the middle of the night, but it's fine. We're doing like a late Lord of the Rings night anyway, so I'm very happy to be here to record this too.
Yeah, it's fun that it worked out this way for us. I think, you know, as I talked to a couple of our German translators, and then Chris and I interviewed AR last year too, it's always fun to get to talk to some of the team members who, you know, aren't around these parts that I don't get to see at the con. So it's great to finally get to chat with you after working with you on ALUP for these years here. What, just kind of a baseline level, what are your primary roles within a long extended party?
Basically, I handle the rules part of the process, like checking that the cards do what they're meant to do, like mechanically speaking, trying to see if the wording of the cards is coherent with whatever FFG has already established, and basically trying to smooth over things to work as the designer, the developers of the quest want them to do.
Okay. So if there are any mistakes or anything like that, it's primarily your fault. Is that right?
Yeah, basically, yes. You can go ahead and signal me to like the game police, because like, yeah, it's all my fault. I admit it.
Great. And so how long have you been helping out with ALUP?
It's been around 3 years now. And I have to say it's been a really, really nice experience. I did some fan work on other games and stuff before, but the level of organization and workflow that I found in ALUP is something amazing. It's really, really well structured, and there is a lot of interaction between people, many ideas flowing around, but also many ways to put them easily and quickly into working shape.
Yeah, we kind of take that for granted now, I think, because it has just been going like this for so long. But, you know, anytime we have new folks join, they're always kind of amazed at just how well oiled the machine is between the Discord and the pipeline and Dragon and, you know, everything, and how it all works. It is it is a pretty smooth process these days.
Yeah.
So how long have you been playing the LCG?
I started in 2017, I think. Yes. It was around that time. I was doing my PhD in Sweden, and a friend of mine from there was also an avid tabletop game player. Just born, try this game. You like Lord of the Rings? Try this card game. It's fun. And I was given basically the core set and the Dwarf Delve cycle to play. I was like, okay, this seems fun. This is fun. Let me try this at home. And basically, I spent 2 weeks playing the game nonstop, basically. So it was a very quick... I fall in very, very quickly, very, very strongly.
Yeah, so like most of us, I joined around the same time. Did you kind of rush out and collect all the backlog of content pretty quickly after you got into the game?
Yeah, basically 2 or 3 months later, I was back in Italy for the summer vacation, basically, and I brought the game that my friend borrowed here. I had my wife try it. She also fell in love immediately. So basically, we look at each other. We say, so we buy everything. And Yeah, there was the big question we asked ourselves at the beginning, like, do we buy it in English or in Italian? Because, like, at the time, it was being translated very well here in Italy. So we were like, let's trust they will keep doing that. And, like, a year or so later, basically, they stopped translating. It was like, no, all our stuff. So now we have this double language collection, our greatest regret for this game, I have to say.
Oh no! So the first half basically is all Italian, and then, bummer.
Yeah.
So, are you involved other than with ALEP in any other areas within the greater LCG community?
Well, I guess I am. I am relatively active on the Card of the Ring Discord, like. Since I work mainly at my PC, I often jump here to answer a question about the games, the rules and stuff, new players. But mainly I am active here in the Italian community. The last couple of years it has really boomed after the revised content released, and we are organizing a lot of live and online events for the Italian community. So there I am particularly active. We have our own YouTube channel, our Facebook page, our Discord channel and stuff, and we try to do a lot of stuff, and there is the part of the community I am the most active.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. I know that we've talked about that before. I actually had that kind of as a question for the back end of the thing on the Google Doc here, but I think maybe I'll just kind of dive into that now. You said that the Italian community has gotten a lot bigger since the revised core set came out?
Yeah, it's really grown a lot. We went from 3 years ago, we were starting having our first event. So we were maybe 20, 25 people. Nowadays, we are making events for 50, 60 people. So, now in May, we will have our first all weekend long event with other LCGs, always from Fantasy Flight, and we will be like 160 people, so like very, very big number. But mainly we saw a lot of new players like coming up, so smaller community forming up in lots of cities, and then forming groups, lots of people trying to ask what this game is about, how to play it. So, like, we're making a lot of videos for, like, new players who want to understand how the game works, what is the difference between this expansion, all this kind of thing. And I think the total number of players here in Italy probably go up 3 times in the last couple of years.
Oh, wow.
Basically. So it's like, it was again, like, almost no one played before, like when I first started playing, and I can hear basically maybe someone has heard of it, but almost no one played it. And nowadays it's like really, really appreciated, and so like, it's like really cool.
That is cool. So with these events, is it like you're getting together and doing epic multiplayer type stuff, or just... like achievement quest type things, kind of like they do at Lure, or how are those structured?
Yeah, mainly we try to do a little bit of both. Like there is always an epic multiplayer event, or many go, like maybe there are we did the ad for the Dreadnought, or maybe we do stuff like the fan-made version of Storm of Cova 7 or Helm's Deep and stuff. But maybe there we have different groups playing together. But then we also try to do some more free play stuff. One thing we did really, it was really appreciated last year. Basically, we made a lot of smaller events in different cities in Italy. Which each event may be like 10, 15 people, but each event basically gained a boon for the larger community. And then when we did the larger event in Milan, usually we do the bigger event, we do it in Milan. all those boom collected by all the smaller community got inside the game for the Dreadnought. It was a really nice moment, like the work of weeks before coming together. It was really nice.
Oh, that is really cool. I know that, I think FFG did something kind of like that with an Arkham Gen Con sort of thing at one point in time, but that sounds like a really cool idea to have something you did at your hometown matter at the big event is a pretty clever idea.
Yeah, basically we gave out these small booms cards at each town. So, okay, now when you go to Milan in a couple of months, bring this card, and then this will give you these booms. You can flip it and use the ally and all this kind of stuff. It was really, really fun to build all of this.
That is fun. So are the repackaged and revised content that's getting pushed out, are those being printed in Italian?
Yes.
Okay.
Asmodee Italy, the branch of the larger Asmodee company, is releasing them basically at the same time as the English release. So, yep.
Oh, great. So any of the newer folks getting into the game, if they're only sticking to the new roadmap, they won't have the same issue with their collection that you do, at least. They'll have everything.
But they will have another issue, like basically when Asmodee bought the Fantasy Flight a few years ago, the Italian translation here was done by another company. So Asmodee bought the rights to distribute here in Italy. So there is a lot of the four cycles. There is a lot of products still around here at very cheap price. So many people are buying that, but the translation is completely different. Like many keywords, like quest, surge, and stuff are translated differently. And so people buy stuff and they're like, but this is saying something strange. And we're, yes, because like they are not translated the same. And it's a bit of a sticky situation for many.
I believe that, especially if you're just new and learning. I can understand that a keyword or something being different would throw you off a bit. So since so many of the players over there are new getting into the game, how is Alep received over there? Since, you know, originally a kind of our goal was for long-term players to be diving into the content, but now there's just so many new folks. It's always interesting to hear. Is Alep being played with, or is it mostly just a revised?
It's being played a lot because like many people start, especially like the start with the revised content, both the core set and then Akmar, maybe the Fellowship of the Ring. And then basically everything out, unless they bought the older cycle, was there. And so they tried the Alep quest as almost like as their third or fourth cycle, and many were like really enjoying that. And so we had Alep is having a really, really big success here in Italy, I have to say. We, through the order, we manage as this group of people who organize events, we definitely sold more than 100 copies of each Alep product. Oh, but wow. There are probably more, like probably people, many more people bought them from themselves through MBPrint. So yeah, it's really well received. We also tried to, like, the last large event in October was about Siege of Erebor. So, like, of course, we are, like, showing more of this product to new people, but Siege of Erebor is easier because, like, it's a standalone quest, so it's, like, easier to show to the new players. Like, you have this product, it's self-contained, you try this, it's...
Right.
It's easier, but many people are, like, enjoying it a lot. I relatively often end up like having people like to show the game to, like, they started playing, so they want to play with someone who has a bit more of like a heel on his back, and so like I go and try like to show people stuff, and usually I bring my Battle for the Beacon for testing quests, like, okay, people, today we were doing Battle for the Beacon. Yes, it's from a fan-made product, but believe me, it's like it's a good testing ground, and many, many people have really enjoyed it a lot.
I love that. Yeah, that get that surrounding grassland right out there for them.
Make them
deal with it first game there. Cool. Well, it's always fun to hear, you know, a little bit about, you know, how this game is being received and played around the world. You know, we get to kind of see a little bit of a picture of it on the COTR Discord and then at Con of the Rings and stuff here. But it's cool to know and see all these events and YouTube channels. And you said you've got a new podcast, I think, firing up over there as well.
Yeah, now we started this. We tried to start this new podcast to go along with the YouTube channel. So basically, four of us meeting and like talking of random stuff, kind of like sort of Carver of the Rings approach. And so, we tried to do this, and now we will see how the community likes it.
Cool. Well, I'll get a link to that from you here after we've done this, and I'll throw it in the show notes of the recording here. So I know that there's probably not a ton of bilingual listeners that I've got, but that it for any of the, you know, Italian folks that are on Patreon here, you can find the link to that here in this podcast as well. So I'm going to transition us back towards the rules side of things here, I think, for Alep here. So you touched on it a little bit in introducing your role there, but what would you say your primary goals and responsibilities are as the lead rules lawyer within the project?
Well, I guess it's, as I was saying before, like, try to make cards work as they are intended, like to try to use my knowledge of the rules and the framework of the game to make stuff work as we want. So I try to talk with the people who are developing the quest and the cards and try to understand what they're trying to accomplish, and then propose like wordings and changes to make this work smoothly and be as clear as possible to the new players so that they can understand the intent and the goal of the mechanics and the quest, and to try to manage the workflow of the game. That's it. And if people have maybe sometimes the developer will come to me and ask, I have this card, how will this interact with this official card from Fantasy Flight, and I will try to give my best answer, and so they say, ah, okay, then maybe that's not what we wanted it to make, how we can change it, and so we try to interact a bit on that level.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm sure some of our listeners here are kind of familiar with how just in depth and wild, just even very small wording differences can make rulings for cards in this game. But for those that don't, like, I mean, having a when or a then or a if or, you know, all these sorts of things can just make a card do such drastically different things. So it's very important that we've got, you know, folks like yourself out there, because there are plenty of people in the community that I think are looking with a comb through our cards once they're released for any of these rules issues, it seems like.
Yeah, but I am very happy that like there are so many people out there that are like looking for this kind of stuff, because it means they are like invested in the products, and it also helps me, because one of the other things I do as Read the Rules lawyer, I manage the Alep FAQ page on the Alep website, and so I try to put together the question that people have about cards, try to give them answer, but also maybe sometimes we catch up, we made mistakes, so there is maybe some need for some errata in our cards. So it's actually very helpful to have so many eyes looking for things. So it's like, this game is a bit complex in its rules, and more in its rulings than its rules, actually. And it can become quite confusing quite easily, and so having many eyes on the on something, it's really, really helpful.
Yeah, definitely. And so, I mean, are you pretty hands-on with the process of errata or changes that need to be made to ALUP cards when that comes up?
Yeah, whenever something comes up, we try to collect stuff as soon as we can. Maybe we try to get three or four changes together so that when we update the page, we have multiple changes together. But yeah, we try to keep the thing, this update flowing as fast as we can so that we always offer the best option possible so that we update the card that will be printed from then on so that people will have the fixed version as soon as possible. And
Yeah, that's definitely one of the nice parts about being, you know, a fan created project like this versus FFG is, you know, we certainly make the occasional mistake out there. Thankfully, nothing gigantic up to this point, but, you know, there are a few things that get released with slightly different wording than we intended. And it's nice to be able to just pivot and make that change really quickly and easily. You know, like maybe it's a bummer that a couple people have cards that aren't printed the way we would want them to be, but we can get the FAQ out. We don't have to wait 2 years or whatever for the next FAQ update. We can do it kind of whenever we want to.
There is no gigantic backlog of Excalibur. I have to add this to the next FAQ we release. Poor Caleb, he was like wearing many, many hats at the end there on Fantasy Flight.
Oh boy, yeah, way too many. So do you do much like playtesting or playing the quests and player cards while they're in development, or do you kind of just look at them from a top-down rules standpoint, like as they exist in the Discord channels and everything?
I try to do as much playtesting as I can. I definitely did more in the past where I was more like of a rules assistant than a lead rules lawyer, but I still try to play as much as I can new decks, new quests, because like, yeah, sure, you can understand many things looking at the card, but it's never the same as going through the game. Maybe I try to do it like 2-3 handed, because it's like the interaction that come out in multiplayer are always more complex and interesting than the stuff you see in solo. So yeah, I try to do that, but I have to say many of the when we are like closing to release of a product, I do most of my work when I start half translating the card. So like on another thing I do in ALEP is translating in Italian the card with a few Italian friends to help me out. Mm-hmm. And so when I start to see like the cards that are starting to have a more or less fixed form, I start to translate them a little bit, and that really helped me to get into focus the possible issues, because like I have to really, really go deep inside the card to give the best translation possible. And so I also start to see better the connection with other cards, and I think that's one of the most fruitful moments I have doing my part in it.
Yeah, it's funny that at this point, that is almost like a step in our release process is, you know, we're getting almost ready to release and we can lock the cards in and pass them off to the translation teams because we know that you and the rest of the Italian translators are going to find some problems for us to fix. Like it's almost like a part of the editing process at this point is sending it over to you. I feel like we catch, you know, a handful of wording changes in every single pack right at that kind of last minute point for us because of that. So another one of the biggest endeavors you've undertaken on the rule side of things here recently is you've kind of redone setup for ALEP on the FAQ recently, right? That went out, I think, around the same time that the Shire's Reckoning was released.
Basically the introduction of the new player objective card kind of forced us to reconsider setup. I mean, it was something I was working on from a long time, because like one of my biggest pet peeves about this game was always how messy setup is, mm-hmm. especially after introducing stuff like contracts and campaign mode and everything else. And so I had this in the back burner for a long time. And then it was a good moment to do it when we released the Shires Reckoning. And so, yeah, we put up a couple of new pages on the Aleph website with two possible approaches to this kind of rework setup that I hope it will help people to better go through all the small steps of setups. Of course, it's kind of my own interpretation of how this could be approached. It's not like a definitive version on everything. There will surely be some like strange corner case where everything breaks down. But I tried to make it as coherent and rational as possible. And hopefully it will be something clear to understand for people.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I got to see, you know, a little bit of like the workings on that throughout the time, like the amount of work that goes into trying to put together something like that. Like, I have to imagine you had a huge list of cards and rulings from Caleb and ideas from other members of the team that all kind of went together to build your idea of what ALEP setup looks like, right?
Yeah, it was definitely a group work, as in like many people like gave their ideas, their help in doing this, and like AR has always made some wither magic on Olofbear to help me get useful data to work on, and many people we discussed a lot of possible approaches and ideas, and we refined it a lot from when it started, and I'm quite happy how it came out, and I hope it will be well received.
Yeah, it has been well received from what I've seen, at least. It is part of like our free to choose list, kind of, right? Like, this is it's not a full errata necessarily to set up, but it's like, you know, if ALEP cards are designed with this in mind, feel free to use like this modified setup because we think it makes sense, sort of.
Yeah.
Almost a house rule, but more thought out and play tested and backed by designer rulings than an average house rule for sure is.
Yep.
So with all those rulings and everything like that, you know, we've got the semi-official FAQ 1.10 on our site now, as well as all of the ALEP errata and free to choose list. We are kind of trying to, you know, be a bit of a one-stop shop for like being stewards of what this game can exist now that Fantasy Flight is in theory winding down on that. Do we have any other plans for any other things that you're hoping to do in the future for with like rules related questions, designer answers, that sort of thing on our site?
Yeah, our main goal for the next few months, I hope we will release that in a few months from now, is a comprehensive as possible collection of rulings collected from all different parts of the internet, the old FFG forums, the BGG forums, the Discord channel, the French community, which is a very, very large collection of rulings from all over the years. And so try to make this sort of comprehensive list of rulings that never got inside the official FAQ or the rules reference, and organize it so that it's easily referenceable, easy to find stuff, and so that people can access it easily, and we can also use it more easily to reference ruling when we add items to the semi-official FAQ or to the Aleph FAQ and the free-to-choose list. So that's what we are mainly working on right now.
Yeah, and I mean, that is a massive undertaking. Like, for anybody else out there that, you know, tries to answer rules questions for this game, it is there's a lot of stuff in like an old Sapidus thread on the archived FFG forums of unofficial rulings that is great if you know that it exists, but then so many other things, like you have to remember that maybe somebody asked the question and posted it in the COTR Discord, and you got to know how this to search for it there. Maybe it was on some BGG post, which who knows how to search for those a lot of the time. So having all of these designer rulings in one place will be, I think, a huge boon for the community for being able to just quickly link, like, here's the hot second ruling. You know, you can't cheat a guarded attachment in, and here's why, and here's where Caleb answered it directly, and things like that. So I think that will be a very cool addition to the Along Extended Party website there, in addition to, you know, creating more content. It's cool that we've kind of got a plan to help keep these rulings preserved moving forward in case that, you know, Entropic Dreams backup ever does go away of the FFG forums or whatever. So yeah, be on the lookout for that. Anybody that is interested in the weeds of designer rulings in this game. You mentioned you do a lot of the translation work as well there. How long does a set typically take for you to translate from how it's worked on in English to Italian for you?
Yeah, luckily with the pipeline AR set up for us, it's quite easy to generate new cards while we translate it and do small changes. So usually we take a couple of weeks to translate a set. Usually 3-4 of us working on it. And so, yeah, that's the usual time we take for it.
Okay, and I know that, you know, for folks who are interested in a super in-depth look into that process, you can check out the interview that I did last year on the same feed with Anna Aru and Tauder, two members of the German translation team, where basically we talked for the entire like 45 minutes about the inner workings of this. But for, I guess, those of you that haven't heard that, what, I guess, can you give kind of a brief overview of what the translation process looks like?
Yeah, basically there is this master spreadsheet we work on, and where there is different tabs for each languages, and basically it copies all the relevant text and parts of the official English cards, of the Aleph English cards. And so we work on that spreadsheet to translate the text. And then from that spreadsheet, we can generate full card with all the art and templates and everything. And so usually I make a first large batch translation of all the text, generate the cards, and then with the card images paired with our whole translation group, we go ahead and like check the cards side to side from English and Italian, and do all the fine tuning of the text and everything else.
Yeah, and do you do all the like formatting work for them as well, or do you send that over to like Thaurdir and company to make them look nice? If, because I know that like sometimes maybe the English text will be a lot longer or a lot shorter, or the card names, I have to imagine.
Yeah, sometimes we need to have some help from Tauri. Luckily, with time, we also understood a couple of things we can do ourselves to better showcase the cards and like change the text ordering and stuff to do a bit of stuff ourselves. But yeah, we still have use from AR and Tauri and the graphic team to help us achieve the best look possible. Especially sometimes, especially the story text can be much longer in Italian than in English. So usually have a default smaller size of the text for all cards, because otherwise it will never fit as nicely. And so, yeah.
Cool. Well, that is a cool spreadsheet process. And like I said, you can check out that interview I did with them where we talk a lot more about kind of the inner workings of how the spreadsheet works and everything like that. But it's cool that we can get this product out in so many different languages, you know, pretty shortly after the English version is ready, just because we have such a you know, passionate team of folks in each of these places willing to get it out to the rest of their community as fast as they can, which I think is a pretty cool thing about ALAB.
Yeah. I will also take this time to thanks my two main collaborators here in Italy, that are Emilio and Lorenzo. So thank you guys. I know you will listen to this sometimes later on. So.
Yeah, like almost everything else in the project, it is something that takes many hands to make it work. So it's great that you've got some other folks there that help you with that. So before we sign out tonight, I've got a couple of quick questions that I've been asking everybody here. First off, is what has been your favorite part of working with a long extended party these last 3 years?
How fun it is to try new quests, basically. Both the evolving of the quest itself, but mainly to play new quests, new content that I would never have gotten otherwise, mm-hmm. and to do it from like behind the scenes. That's like really, really fun part of it all, and like I enjoy it so much.
Yeah, I was actually just talking with somebody about this the other day. Like, I remember while the game was going, you know, with the official FFG run, like pack day, like when the pack would come in the mail, was always just such an exciting day. Like, you got to sleeve up all the cards, break out the new quest, and try to play it right away, basically. And it, I don't know, it's wild that, you know, maybe the releases are fewer and farther between nowadays, but we still get that now, which I think is a pretty neat thing. So then you said one of these was going to be harder to answer than the other one when I sprung it on you right before recording tonight, but what is your favorite ALEP quest and favorite player card?
For the quest, it's really easy for me. It's Battle for the Beacon. I like really, really love that quest. It does a little bit of everything without being too harsh. Yes, there is the additional loss condition that is managing the beacon health, but it's kind of refreshing. Like, it's easy, it's straightforward, it's the right amount of challenging for my taste, and it's such an easy quest to bring to people who are kind of new to the game, to like have them tried it. And so I played it a lot these past years, and I always enjoy going back to it.
Yeah, it is a good one for sure. It's one of my favorites as well. I think that the only real issue that quest has is it has Recreant Riders in it, and I just hate them. So I will always complain about any quest that involves them.
Very understandable sentiment. They are really awful.
Oh, so bad. And then what is your favorite player card then that's been designed so far?
That was a very, very hard question for me, because like, I enjoy so many of them so much, from stuff like Tengele, how it kind of fixes the Rohan archetype, or many of the new trap cards. But I think my answer would be the Lay of Denial, Vlamir. It's
okay.
It's a very good mix of themes and mechanics, like many of the best things the Dwarf and the Noldor did in the Tolkien Legendarium was when they were together. Mm-hmm. And that card basically is that made into a card. And it's, I don't know, I like big effects. I like big stuff to do with my cards, and that is a very big one. Sure, it cost a lot and everything, but it merits the theme and the mechanics so well for me. So yes, that's my favorite card.
It is a fun one. I'll always remember the very, very first time that I play tested that card right after we designed it, because the very first game that I used it, I hit two hidden caches and two miners in the top 10 cards of my deck. And obviously that's a pretty extreme play, but I was like, oh, well, this is broken. Just, you know, just funny. That'll always be my lasting memory of that card, was just the very first time I used it was just the biggest play in the world. So yeah, that is a fun one. So, well, thank you very much for coming and joining me here tonight. I really had a good time talking with you. It was fun to hear more about the rules side of this, and then definitely fun to hear about how the game is progressing and being played and how ALIP is being received over in Italy as well. It's very cool to hear, you know, there are places in other parts of the world that are liking our little hobby project that I'm working on from Montana, of all places, right?
Yeah, thanks for having me, and I'm so happy to be part of this project. That I will not call it little; it's like a very big project with a lot of amazing people and a lot of art behind, and it's so fun. Anytime there is something to do about it, I'm so glad to be of help, to be a part of it. So nice.
Perfect. Well, thank you again, and thanks again for everybody that listened in on these episodes of A Long Extended Podcast. This will be the last one for this set. I'm sure I'll come back again at some point as we've got more interesting things to talk about, but always nice to get some time on the second feed here to talk some ALIP. So we'll be back with some more shows moving forward with Brad and myself doing some more dumber things for those of you that like that side of the feed. Thanks, everyone.